Anyway, I thank God for what he's been doing with this seed that we have been sowing. I remember something I told us before, and I want to just, maybe I should share this one with us briefly that's for everybody to learn it. And the way Paul said it, he said in 1 Corinthians, he said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, we can look at that in one way, that anything we are doing, it is God that's given the increase, so we shouldn't take glory. Now, that is correct. But there's something almost identical to that, which we should bear in mind. And that is the fact that if we want increase, God has not ordained that we should struggle to get increase. Do you understand? But that we should identify the right seeds and plant the right seeds and leave it to God to give increase. There is a portion of the scriptures which I would like to quote. In fact, I think I didn't think about it until now. Let me just quickly seek it out, and then I would like to quote it to just illustrate a point in what I'm saying, talking about the fact that God is the one that gives increase. There was a time that Joab went to war, and they were fighting, and he told his brother that let's divide ourselves into two groups. There were two sets of enemies. He said, if the enemies I'm facing are too strong for me, I will come and I will help you. And he said that if the ones that you are facing are too strong for you, I will come and I will help you. He said, show yourself, be strong and show yourself valiant for God and for his house or something like that. And I said, now, after you have done that, let the Lord do what is pleasing in his sight. You understand the point I'm making? That is, he was saying that, yes, we can try to fight. I think it was Joab, right? Okay, he said, we can try to fight. We will do our best to try and win this battle. But after we have done everything that we know to do, then we will leave the rest to God. Do you understand the point I'm making there? Okay, yes. 1 Chronicles chapter 19 from verse 10. Now listen to this. He said, just to illustrate that point, he said, now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel, and they arrayed themselves against the Arameans. He said, but the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother, and they arrayed themselves against the sons of Ammon. And he said, and this is my point, if the Arameans or the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. He said, be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our God and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Now, notice that what he was saying is that let us plant our seeds. But as for the principle of increase, that is left in the hands of God. That is, we want to win, yes, most certainly. We will do our best to win this battle, no doubt. He said, but it doesn't lie in our hands. But what we will do is to plant our seeds, and God will give the increase. Are you getting my point? And that's the way life is. There is nothing, one of the things believers have to understand is that there's really nothing they can do directly. That's the way life is, to bring out results in life. What we can do is to plant the right seeds. The Bible said there is seed time and there is harvest. There is cold and there is heat. It means that there is a season. Like Oswald Chambers would say, you can make God has given you the ability to make decisions, make choices. He said, but the consequences of your choices, God has not given you the ability to decide. That is, the control you have over life only rests in the time of seed. Now, I just like to sound this again. You know, when I came to understand it, at a point I almost became scared. That is, I just realized that no matter what I do, you know, maybe by the time I'm 50, I'm 60, at that point in time, there is nothing I can do to cause my life to prosper at that point. That what will cause me to prosper then is what I'm doing today. In fact, there was a time I came to an understanding, I will not explain that in details, but that for most people, believers, those who knew God for some time, especially before they got married, it appears to me like the day you say, yes, I do, your destiny has been sealed. I don't have time to explain, but I know what I'm saying, and I believe it very, very strongly. That is, before God allows you to get married, he has made up his mind where you are going to get to in life. It's funny. I don't have time to explain. You see, I am not saying that to scare you. This is one that Kingsley is looking at Onyeka Chukwu like, oh boy, we're in trouble. That is most certainly not the intention. In fact, you know, listen, you know something about spiritual things, prophecies. You see, people sometimes, when they hear prophecies, they set out to go and fulfill it. You understand? Or try to hinder it. And in trying to hinder it, the thing still gets fulfilled. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when Herod heard that Jesus had been born, he went out, he said, where did the Bible say he will be born? You know, some people are very foolish. You should have said, what did the Bible say will happen after he has been born? You understand my point? If the Bible can be correct about where he will be born, it should also be correct about the events that will take place, and you will have known that you can't kill him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he went out to go and hinder the fulfillment of the prophecy. But of course, you know that he failed utterly. Now, what I'm saying is this. If you hear things like that, you cannot manipulate it. Do you follow what I'm saying? You cannot now use marriage to determine your destiny. You can't. You cannot now go out to say, oh, please, oh, let me be sure that the man is right or the woman is right. You cannot. See, those are fruits of life. They are not seeds. The Bible says houses and riches earthly fathers can give, but a prudent wife is a gift of God. You cannot learn 163 questions to ask to decide who the prudent wife is. You can't. God will lead her in your direction, and that is all. You understand my point? My good example these days is Joseph in the Holy Bible. Joseph had no opportunity to pray about a wife. Prisoners don't meditate on such things. Are you following what I'm saying? No, prisoners don't, okay? Yet, we know that God blessed him in his own time with a wife that gave him the two beautiful children that became very strong heads of tribes in Israel. I'm explaining that, you see, things that come upon us later in life, they are decided at this point. That's why people tell you these days, you know, it's interesting. Let me tell you something again. If you observe physical things, try and look at them with the eye of the spirit. Don't be like a common man, all right? To just be shouting like everybody, just be shouting and screaming, you know, like ignorant people. It's not good, all right? Now, one of the things that you see on the earth today is this. They will tell you that you go to all these churches these days, they are full of young people. Do you understand my point? Yeah, you know why? Because that is the future of the nation. So God is putting his words in the hearts of the young people because he's not trying to alter the destinies of the old people. Do you get my point? It's a spiritual law. And you see that church going is in vogue. No, spiritual things are interesting. It's in vogue because many are called. It's just a spiritual law. God will force people. There are different ways, but you will go to church, you will hear it. They will broadcast it on the air. Are you following my point? You know, it was interesting when I noticed that, look, we are the first to go on Cosmo FM. When Cosmo FM first arrived, their principal was, you know, tush tush, rock rock, you know, jam jam, nothing like all these preachers, nothing like that. So God was just looking. I said, just get ready. I have a word for you. You understand my point? That at a point in time, without giving all the details, God manipulated events till we arrived on Cosmo FM. All they asked for was good quality. And I said, don't worry, we'll record directly onto a hard disk and we'll bump for you on a CD. They were happy. They heard our CD. They were very, very happy that this is good quality. You understand? But why did God do that? Now, I'm just going to explain. He has gathered everybody to listen to them. They now planted the word that you must hear it. Because I cannot judge you if I don't give you the opportunity. Are you getting my point? It's, look, judgment, this is judgment that they rejected the light. Judgment is not that they never heard the light. Judgment is that light came and you loved the deeds of darkness and you rejected light because of your love for the deeds of darkness. Now, what am I explaining by all of these things? God is doing all of these so that in many years, and starting shortly, he'll begin to plant the right people in certain places. Are you following what I'm saying? And it will not be because they struggled or they networked. No. Look, this is what God said. This is a principle. Jesus said, other men have labored. Now you will enter into their labor. That is, if God wants to make you president, he will form a political party, call them PDP. When they are ready, then he'll push you inside and say, make this man president. No, that's how it works. Look, our current president never joined PDP. You understand my point? He didn't try to start a party called PDP. After everybody had agreed that he shall be the next president, then they went and sold him a registration card in his farm. We all know that it was decided. by the that's how God does things. And listen, and look, let me try and forget what I'm saying and go back to my message. This is the point I'm making. There is seed time, and what we are looking for, what we call future, is what the Bible calls harvest season, where people are trying to make decisions that will settle them in prosperity forever. God said, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that will become, that will fall upon a man, a woman, when they are in their middle ages, is not a product of the attempts they made at succeeding, but by sowing the proper seeds in the seed time. Harvest is automatic because God said, seed time and harvest will not cease. That is, if you sow seed, the time of harvest will come. The issue is that what did you plant in the time of seed sowing? So I thank God for what he's doing in our lives and through this work that we are doing here, because God is sending his word into our hearts. And because this is how God does things. He said, see, I set before you life and death. Then he gives you the instruction on what to do. He said, do you want to live? He says, choose life and you will live. So first thing God does is to tell people how to choose life, because life and death has been set in front of everybody. So, but by his word, how can a young man, applies also to a young woman, keep his way pure? He said, it is by keeping it according to thy word. So God keeps giving you his word so that will help you to sow the right seeds. I keep saying this, Solomon, his decision to choose wisdom was not spontaneous. It was not something that just came out suddenly, an inspiration hit him from nowhere. No. His father had instructed him, my son, attend to my words. He said, call wisdom your sister. He had told him such things. He said, more than anything that you will seek, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding also. He said, exalt her and she shall promote you. He said, seek for her more than men seek for hidden treasures. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Look, that is the principle of life. It has not, look, it was not as if the man decided that, let me just choose wisdom to impress somebody. No, it was that his father had warned him, every other thing you will want in life, that's where you find it. What am I saying? That by the words that we are getting, what God is doing is to teach us how to plant the right seeds. And if you plant the right seed, the harvest will definitely come. I hope you get the point I'm making there. Now, that's just to introduce what I want to say today. Now, what I want to teach today, I don't know how long we'll be on this, but I'm talking about faith, actually, and I want to make a point. Now, if you have your Bibles open to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, let's run off what I have to say for today. Let's read from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. It said, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. He said, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. He said, it hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come, it will not delay. Now notice verse 4, he said, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Now, that's where I want to end. Verse 4 says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Now, what I want to share is something along this line that is about the issue of faith, that is living by faith. When you say it is that somebody is living by faith, I want to first explain a few points, and please follow me very closely. Now, there is a version of the Bible I read. It's called Bible in Basic English. It's interesting because what it said is what I was going to explain to us the meaning of this expression. Then I checked that version of the Bible and saw that is exactly the words that this particular version used. He said, as for the proud man of pride, my soul has no pleasure in him, but the upright man will have life through his faith. Now, because there is something we have to understand about the word living. Now, most of the time we look at it, we say that, we live by faith, and that is correct. That is, I don't make decisions by the seeing of my eyes. I don't decide according to what my eyes or my feelings say, that I live by faith. Now, that is a very correct thing. You understand my point? But when the Bible was talking about they just shall live by faith here, that's not what it was talking about. Now, Paul will tell you that we walk by faith and not by sight. That is the appropriate scripture to support that. We walk by faith and not by sight. But what he's talking here is this. When it says the just shall live by faith, like the Bible in basic English said, the just man, the upright man shall have life through his faith. That's what he's saying. And what does it mean to have life? That's what I'm coming to. And we have to understand this. Now, when it says somebody is having life, life is used in the scriptures to mean more than I am living. Or I'm alive, I'm not dead. What he's saying in effect is that, see, what I am engaged in is succeeding. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What it means is that my life is productive. When it says life, life means that things are functioning in the proper order. It doesn't mean that I'm not dead. No. That is, life means that if I invest money, it produces for me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It means that if I start a business, it produces. That is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil. Even though they said there is plague in town, I am not afraid of it. That is, success and victory is my portion. That is what is called having life. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Now, if you see somebody has life, it is not just that he's alive, he's not dead. No, it means that life is a spiritual force. Are you getting my point? You know, if when it's injected into anything, the thing begins to function properly. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right. Now, if I may just use another example to explain it, death is the exact opposite. So if I explain death, then you understand what life is. When the Bible uses the word death, it told Adam, the day that you do it, that day you shall surely die. He wasn't saying that you will slump and die, because if that was the case, Adam did not die as God said. But what he was saying is that you come under the dominion of death. And death means that if you plant, in fact, God explained it immediately. He said the earth will no longer yield its increase for you. Do you understand my point? That means death has entered into the earth. He told the woman, he said, in pain you will bring forth children. That is, death has come into the process of bringing forth. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, the opposite of that is what the Bible calls life. So he will tell them that I'm bringing you to a good land. The land in which you don't have to water it like you did in Egypt with your feet, but I drink water from the rain of heaven. That is, there is life in that land. He said that none of your, he said, your wife and your cattle will not miscarry. That is, every time they are supposed to be productive, they will be. That is, there is life in them. That is the exact opposite of death. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. So now let's go back to our main text. So he said, the just, we experience these things by faith. Are you getting my point? In fact, let me explain it again. He was not saying that the just will go around and say, I'm walking by faith, I'm not walking by sight. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that if the just man, the righteous man, is going to experience success, it will be because he's walking by faith. Are you getting my point? That if the just man is going to experience productivity in his life, it will be because he's walking by faith. Now, there's something we've been saying in all these teachings that we're bringing forth from here. You will notice that they've been going around the single point. I have thought about it. It's the fact that your life is a gift to your generation. Let me summarize it like that. And that you owe it to God to manifest. And that before God can do anything on this earth, he has to do it through somebody. And that you are somebody that God has sent so that he might do something through. Do you follow my point? That is, faith is not, you know, I used to have one pair of shoes. Now I believed God. And you see, I sowed a seed of the only pair I wore. And then I used to wear. And then I have three. Praise God. Faith works. Nonsense. You understand my point? No, you see, God allows some of those things to teach people the rudiments of faith. Are you following my point? Faith is not a way by which I get my needs met. No, no, no. What God was saying is this. I have created you for a purpose. There is a reason why I gave birth to you. There are things you will go through in life to do my will. Now, in all of these things, if you are going to have success, it will be because you are walking by faith. That's what he's saying. So he said, the just shall live by faith. There's a reason why I read all the verses involved there. to make a point. Notice he said, I'm watching out for what God will say to me. And God said in verse 2, record the vision. He said, verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time, though it tarries. He was saying, I'm jumping a few lines, you understand. Wait for it. For it will certainly come, it will not delay. Then immediately he jumped to the next line. He said, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by faith. That is a man who is not walking by faith. And thereby acquiring life is what is the person God calls the proud one. Now, you have to understand this thing. It's important we read the Bible in context. All right, that's why I read the first few verses. He described a situation here and linked two things together. That is faith and vision. Are you noticing that? That is, God gave me a vision. And he said, even if it appears delayed, wait for it. Because, let's read it. He said, though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. The reason is this. It may appear like it's delaying in your eyes. He said, the reason is because the appointed time has not yet come. Are you getting my point? Now, so, he's explaining here that if anybody will not wait for God's appointed time, stick with God's vision for his or her life, and starts rushing towards his own direction. He said, the guy is proud in heart. His soul is not right within him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you are pursuing after your own goal in life, you're not walking with God, you're not a righteous person. Righteousness is defined by the fact that you are walking in God's plan for your life. Simple. You're following what I'm saying? And that when you step upon that path, you will acquire life or bring forth success in all that you do by faith. I hope I'm not confusing you. I'm not confusing you at all. You are getting my point? Now, I'm explaining something here. That you see, faith is not a way of talking that makes you appear like a Christian. No. Faith is the means by which God expects you to produce results so as to fulfill the plan of God for your life. That's what he's saying. I hope you're getting my point. Now, it's very important we understand this because, you see, there's one thing, I think I quoted it for us some time ago, Mike Murdock said about vision. That vision is what puts... Now, he said your energy is determined by your vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's determined by your vision. And that is what you see decides the amount of strength with which you do certain issues. Now, if you recognize, I was preaching in church on Sunday, and I explained something to them that, see, before I tell you what I said, what's his brother's name now? This big guy. T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes described how his car broke down, that is, he didn't have a car again, and he used to take lifts, lifts. He stand by the road and looking for who will carry him so he will go and preach. Now, I don't have to tell you that he didn't have money to go and to call a taxi to his house to go and preach because taxis, are available. So when a man's car breaks down and he stands on the road to wait for a taxi, for lift, is to tell you that all things are not exactly equal in every corner of the clothing that he's wearing, what we call pockets, all right? Okay. Now he said that, but that he did this, suffered, in quote now, many hardships, for many years going to preach. He said when he looks back now, he can't imagine how he did it. That he can't do it. That if you ask him to do it now, he will refuse. That I'm not going to do it. I won't go to preach. No, I'm not going. Now, the man has reached a point in life where the other day I heard that he bought a jet and called one guy and said, let's go and warm it. And they went from US to Jamaica to, flew all over the place to warm the jet like it's a new one. Let's just check how it's working. So the man, he looks back and says, wait. You mean I will stand by the road to take lifts? Now, are you following the point I'm making? Now, why did I tell the story of T.D. Jakes? Okay, now, so I'm talking about vision. Yeah, but you see, the energy with which he did that came from the vision he had for the work that he's doing. Sometimes I think, maybe I'm in Lagos or I go to Benin or wherever I am. I'm rushing back to get to Enugu, you understand? That is,
No, whatever it is, I'm rushing. I must be in town before afternoon on Saturday because I must start teaching. Now, there is a reason why, look, if you tell me to come and collect money, do you know, I can't, the trouble with too much. I say, drive all the way, I say, how much is the money? It doesn't look weighty. It doesn't look like something that a man can collapse under. I will tell you now, if you know if you send, I will hold on. You know, not the point I'm making. But I will get up and drive a long distance to come and preach to a few people for just 1.5 hours. And then, but if I do, I mean, I have done it before that you drive in, preach, next day, I'm out again. Why? Because of what the Bible calls vision. Now, if you are not following anything with passion in life, it is, let me just say like this, it's because you have no vision for anything. Now, just follow me what I'm saying very closely. I'm explaining that, see, faith, when we're talking about faith, is that you recognize that God has a plan for your life. And though the results you are looking out for has not yet come, you realize the Bible said that the vision is for an appointed time. But you hold on to the assignment or what God has placed in your hand to do in the direction of that vision for now. And you continue doing it without wavering. Are you getting what I'm saying? And now, so here we are reading from Habakkuk chapter 4 here, chapter 2, that the man who will get results in the direction of God's vision for his life must be walking by faith. I'm explaining all of this. You know, I was explaining something earlier that I've explained that God has a purpose for everybody's life. There is a reason why God created you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now there's a scripture I should read to quickly tie down together. Hebrews chapter, well, we all know it, 11. It's something we all know. Let me start from 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It said, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Notice, let's come down please to verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Or like King James would say, those who diligently seek him. Now, bear this point in mind. I'm trying to bring out something here. It's not coming out so clearly yet. When I've expressed it, I will know. You understand my point? Once I've said what I want to say, I will know, and I'll be able to leave the point. This thing is not coming out very clearly yet. There's something I'm trying to bring out. And that's the fact that, I think I've got it out now. Now, every time in life, now, when you make decisions, I was explaining that earlier, that your vision determines your strength. He guides how you make decisions. Are you getting my point? Now, this is righteousness. Righteousness means you understand that God has an assignment for you to perform on the earth. I said something in church on Sunday. I was about to refer to it. I said that, well, that's what I was preaching. I made a statement. It didn't strike me until the person who preached the next service referred to it that I just answered one of his questions in life. All right. He said that, anytime I want to make decisions, I say, where is ministry? The example I gave was this. I said, because you know, I told you then that I wanted to start this radio broadcast. And when I sampled prices in town, they scared me off big time. That is, I calculated how much we have to pay these people every month. I said, we don't have that amount of cash flow. I said, no, but we have to preach on the air. So I started linking with guys in Benin. So they went there, and I found out that the price was almost half of what it was in Enugu here. So I said, well, good opportunity. So the guy had gone to check things out, told me how much you'll have to pay. Then when I called him, one day something just came to my mind. I just told the guy that, listen, if God wants me to start broadcasting from Benin, he will have sent me to Benin, not Enugu. So please, forget the idea. So he said, fine. So we canceled everything entirely until, God arranged, I got a particular message. The word of God is powerful. It's so funny. You know, people think that what you need is money. It's not money. It wasn't money I needed. It was a word. I was waiting for my wife once. She was having a meeting. We were supposed to go somewhere together. So I was sitting in the car waiting for her, and I was playing a tape. While the tape was playing by my pastor in Lagos, suddenly the word clicked, and I knew that this is the time. 1 month later, we started broadcasting. At least we had paid. I don't know whether we, or maybe 4 weeks or 6 weeks later. But 1 month later, we had paid for the first 10 weeks. And we had started, everything was in high gear because a word came, not because money came. Now, money followed the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Money followed the word. It was as soon as that thing clicks, the decision was taken. I knew the time was ripe. Then I rose up within myself and suddenly, let me just say, money arrived. Everything came together and suddenly we were there. One of the things that happened was that the same radio station dropped their price by about 30%. Do you understand my point? God moved cash in our hands up and brought cash that they were requiring down. We met somewhere and we paid. Now, what am I saying here? That is, the decision was taken because of the understanding of vision. That's what I'm saying. Now, when people don't have any vision for their life, that's why they do things anyhow. You will see a man wake up today. Look, there are a lot of Nigerians. Give them a visa to hell. They will have arrived at the gates. Fire will start beating in their face before they turn and say, where are we? They say, we stamp the visa straight to hell. They will take the visa. They won't, are you getting my point? Because their vision is that Nigeria is what? Bad. I explained something earlier, that vision is tied to faith. Get what I'm saying? The people will have taken it because somebody has told them that Nigeria is very bad. Nigeria is very terrible. Nothing works here. Look, there was one guy I used to say, it was my colleague. I used to say that this guy would take visa to, and I'm not joking about that, anywhere just to get out of Nigeria. He opened his mouth, we are finished in this country. He kept on saying, we are finished. I said, I'm not finished. Now, he was finished because he left. He finished in Nigeria, and I kept going up. And I'm going to come to that. So first thing you have to understand, now, the one we're talking about is just shall acquire life by faith. What God was saying is this. I will give him a vision, and he will take my words. He will live his life in, within the shadows of that vision, knowing that this is where my life is going. Do you get my point? And he said that if he does that, I will give him life. Listen, that is, because of vision, they will say things don't work here. Yet the man will say, I will plant my seed there. God said the reason why he will succeed is not because the land is good, but because he's walking by faith. Do you understand my point? That's what he meant when he said, the just shall live by faith. That is, they said he will fail. That is death. But God said, no, he will succeed because he's obeying the vision that I have for his life. You know, there's something I think we explained last time. I said that God is God. God said, turn to me, all the ends of the earth. He said, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Because I am God, there is no other. God said, in effect, if anybody recognizes this, he is walking by faith. That's why, you know, I said we should read where Hebrews chapter 11. What was he saying there? He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say, he who comes to God must believe that he is God. Now, it's not just that he exists. Because if he is just that he exists, then why will, if he didn't know he existed, why will he come? I don't know why, what I get the point I'm trying to make. I mean, for him to come to God is because he recognized that God is there. But he said that apart from that, he must believe that I am God and nobody else. That if you are going to come to me, you have to recognize that I can bless you anywhere you go. I don't need you in any particular country to bless you. And he said, if a man does this, I will give him life. That is, if he goes to that so-called bad country because he recognizes that I am God and nobody else, then even though everybody said he should fail, yet he will succeed. That's what it means. The just shall have life. The just shall have success. The just shall be productive by faith. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
I was saying something that faith does not mean. I go to church now. Which one is your church? My own are the redeemed, resurrected, anointed Christian evangelical church of God. You know, you can't get more Christian than that. You know, when you go around, you see all kinds of names. I see names. The names are as many as the motorbikes in Enugu. You know, that's my point. And all those kind of names, Chuanwine, Zingfu, all those kind of. Bags. No, that is not what Christianity is. It is not which church do I attend, who is your pastor? You don't know our general overseer. It is Bishop AYC Ajanle Kuku. No, it has nothing. You don't even know Ajanle Kuku. The dog that's chasing the fox. That's a very, very powerful dog. That is our general overseer. He said, no, that's not the point. The point is this: if you are walking by faith, I will affect your life. That's what God is saying. That is, when you go, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, everybody will know that you are not fearing any evil. And they say, why? He said, because the Lord is with me. They said, Nigeria is very, very dangerous. Last week, didn't you hear? No, I didn't hear. So what happened? One at 9 Mile. One luxury bus driver was driving who just ran into a tanker. 49 people died. Our roads are bad. Okay. Didn't you hear? This policeman just killed those innocent boys and one girl in Abuja for nothing. Oh, these policemen are terrible. You didn't hear? Nepal gave us power surge and blew up all our equipment. The factory is not working again. Oh, God, things are terrible. God said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, 1,000 may fall by your side, 1,000 by your right hand, but none shall come near you. He said, if you believe that, the just shall survive all these calamities by faith. Do you get what I'm saying? He wasn't saying that the just will walk through them knowing that nothing will come upon me. He said, that is true. He's walking by faith. He said, but if he walks by faith, then I will cause him to indeed be delivered because he's walking by faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? I told you, I think I gave you this gist before also. One day, one brother told me that, you are in Lagos? I said, yes. He said, you're not married? I said, no. He said, be careful of Lagos sisters. I looked at him. I said, in many words, anyway, I said, there's a woman whose heart is a snare, whose hands are chains. I said, the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her. It is the sinner that will be enticed. That is faith. So, I escaped from... There were many Jezebels in Lagos, in Benin. Where did I go? I was working at Adoekiti. I served in Taraba State. They were all over the place. I'm sure I passed and shook the hands of close to 100,000 Jezebels. I didn't marry any. They just got a good wife by faith. Do you understand the point I'm making? Do you understand my point? That's why I keep on warning you about 163 questions to ask. That is pure unbelief. Your soul is proud within you. You are not walking by faith. I'm happy. Look, I told you that I knew when I connected what I wanted to say. It has come out. You have understood it. If you believe this, I say amen. I hope you're following what I'm saying, all of these things. That is, God is saying that, I am not saying that Nepal will not fail. I am not saying that the roads are not bad. I am not saying the armed robbers don't shoot. I am not saying policemen don't even shoot you and the armed robber combined. You know, I mean, innocent people and the armed robbers. I'm not saying they don't. I am not saying that NNPC is not trying to increase the price of fuel again because our country is now earning more fuel. You know, it's very funny. We're now earning more money from the sale of the same crude because crude is about 60-something, about $64 now. All right, so that they are saying that they have to increase the pump price. So I'm not saying pump price will not go up. I am saying that even though the victory does not blossom for everybody else, yet, he said, even though the young lions lack and suffer hunger, they that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Do you understand my point? That is, those that are walking with me will not fear the arrow that flies by day. He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. I'm not saying the sun will not keep shining. I'm just saying it will not smite you. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, sow your seed in the dry ground. God said, I will pour upon that seed water. He said, I will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. That where every man says there is a casting down, you will experience, not just say, a lifting up. That's what he means when he said, the just shall live. Get my point? Live does not mean that today I wake up, see, I'm not afraid of what I'm seeing. That is walking by faith. Living by faith is that when you go, the things that you are not afraid of will indeed will not come upon you. Oh, I told you this woman there, Jackie Mize. After he married Terry, told Terry that doctor said, it was before they got married, no, you can't marry me. Why? I can't have children for you. Why? So the doctor said, he said, oh, it's doctor. Doctor doesn't know anything. The doctor concluded that this woman is incapable of bearing children. And Terry said, see, it was a doctor that said it. God said, I am God and not else. None else. Look, there is no doctor conniving with any instrument that can make a decision. Two of them, they are not God. He told Jackie that I married her anyway. and bore him, is it three or four children? I don't know how many children they have. What does it mean? He lived by faith. It doesn't mean he might have by faith. That is, he got his children by faith. That is what it's called living. That is, he received what? Fruits by faith. Because he walked by faith, God said, I will give him results. That's what it means to live by faith. You know, we talk about the principle of seed time and harvest. Seed time, you plant the correct things. God said, what the number one thing I want you to plant is what? Faith. He said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Number one of faith is to realize that, he said, he that comes to God must believe that he is God and none else. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, my economy is not God. I'm not afraid. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil. Come on. People have seen nothing. They just love to grumble. Let me tell you something about faith. Without faith in life, you can't succeed in anything. I think we had a teaching. No, okay, it was a book I wrote. It's not published yet. On faith. And I explained the meaning of the word faith. That everybody walks by faith. Everybody. There is no human being that does not walk by faith. I can easily prove it to you. Anybody who points to you and says, this is my mother or this is my father, is walking by faith. Because he was not there when he was born. You know what I mean? He was not there. It was one time, he was being given birth to, so he doesn't know who gave birth to him. Whether the nurse dashed you to another woman, you don't know. That is, your mother has gone with your real mother's child, and then maybe they just say, look, this one wants a boy and this one wants a girl. This one has already had five boys, this is six boys. And I switch the thing before they wake up. Just arrange, you know, just arrange. You know, and people make mistakes. Those days before, you know, there was a time doctors, that's hospitals, they just use tags. As soon as the child is born, they move the child away to a care unit. Nothing wrong with the child, though. And when they are rearranging the children back, suddenly he goes, you see, when you boom, man, just get black picking. Yeah, the boy grows up and says, that is my father, that is my mother. How does he know? He wasn't there. A woman breastfed, it doesn't mean anything. Can breastfeed anybody. Look, when we were in school those days, you get to the special care, the baby unit. The women used to share breast milk. Say, wow, you don't express plenty. Now, give me small. They were sharing breast milk to give to their children. Breast milk is breast milk. Your mother's own, there's nothing special about it. It's just human breast milk. Nothing. Yet, we go around proudly declaring, I am a Nigerian. Who told you? Who told you your father was not a Ghanaian? No, it's true. How do you know? You were told. That is all. I mean, you go to the market, you pay good money for a product. Why? They tell you that this television can receive 700 channels. You say, ah! Are you serious? Say, yes. Believe me. You take the manual says 700 channels. You carry the TV. You are a Nigerian and you don't have DSTV. You will never tune more than five channels at a go. But you tell your friends, this one is inferior to mine. Your own receives only 150 channels. Mine receives 700. You have never tried. You pay the extra 5,000 naira to get 200 extra channels that you will never tune to.